Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. Good to see you guys in 2019. Thank God for another year and another fresh start. And when it comes to that, we say that a lot, don't we? Thank God. We say thank God because I passed the test. Thank God that I got that job, that promotion, that raise. Thank God that he or she said yes. Thank God those results came back favorably. Thank God that this time they had the burnt ends when I went to Bears. Look, we all get excited about different things, and different things cause us to be filled with gratitude and happiness. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that phrase. I say it all the time myself. But when it comes to thanking God, I just think that we can do better than that. I think God expects us to do better than that, and I think we have every reason to do better than that. When I say better, what I'm saying is, I mean we shouldn't simply say thank God as just a phrase or a cliche, but that we should, with full intention, full passion, full earnestness, full intensity, thank God in a sincere, engaged way that touches his heart, because God deserves that. And I believe it's a small way that you and I can put a smile on God's face. Don't we love putting a smile on the face of the people that we do love? And I think that that's one of the ways that we can do it. I think when we thank him in this way, it just really moves him. But not only that, when we thank God like this in a true, sincere, meaningful way, it actually does something for us. It recalibrates our hearts, it recalibrates our minds, and it helps us to remember how good God is and how just wonderful the things that he has done for us are, and it helps to deepen our relational connection with him. It can often move us out of the depths of despair or out of pity or whatever else we might be finding ourselves walking through. And look, I know that in life, every single one of us, when we pray, when we talk to God, we all have requests. We have things that we long for, sometimes things that we even need that we bring to his attention. And those are good, and it's right that we bring those to God. Jesus told us, go to God and ask for our daily bread. However, I think that we need to do more. That the issue comes when that becomes the sum total of our prayers, when it's just constantly asking for blessings. We need to simply, not that we need to stop doing that, we need to expand our prayers, because when we take time to consider, God has already done a lot for us. God has already given us a lot, and we need to stop to take the time to thank him for that, not only what he's done for us, but who he is. And so today we're going to take some time to do that. We're going to start off this year, even as Shagan was saying, going deeper with God. We're going to press in to some of the things that he's done for us, who he is, and why we should just really find ourselves as a response completely grateful, throw ourselves in worship to him. If you would open up your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm 107, Psalm somewhere about in the middle of the Bible. And Psalms is a book of poetry. It's, as you go through the Psalms, it really encompasses the full range of human emotion and expression, everything from elation to despair and everything in between. And these Psalms are songs that were written to God, and they came from a very personal place. These were heart conversations that people had with God, and they're ones that we can and should have with God too. And if you're, by the way, in a tough place, the Psalms are like God's balm for our souls, so it's not a bad place for you to be parked out with. But for today, we're going to look at Psalm 107, and as we do, it reminds us why we should thank God, and a little bit of, you know, it tells us the why. Like, what's the reason behind this? Why should we be so thankful to God? So let's set the stage. Let's read the first verse, and that'll help us kind of see where we're going. It gives us the what and why in thanking God. Psalm 107:1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, number one, because he is good. And number two, his love endures forever. And the reason that is something we should be so thankful for, as you think about it, we are completely dependent on God. We turn to Him for everything that we need. So we should be grateful that His nature is good. Right? We wouldn't want to have someone that we're completely dependent on with a terrible nature. That would be bad. So we thank God that this one we're dependent on is good. And because His love, which does not end, manifests itself in tangible, sustained ways in our lives that rescues us from many, many dangers, including ourselves. And thus we are called the redeemed. So continuing, Psalm 107 verses 2 and 3 says, "Now let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands from east and west and north and south." Stop there for a moment. People all over the earth, all over the planet, who have been redeemed by this good God, the Bible calls them, the Scripture calls them, to not cease to tell their story. That we, who have been rescued by this good, loving God, are people that should remind ourselves, that should help inspire other people by telling the story and thanking God and inviting others to praise God too. Now, the remainder of this psalm, starting verse 4 through the rest of it, goes on, and it describes four different types of people whom God has rescued and redeemed. And in each case, it tells of their condition. It tells of some of the perils that they faced. It talks about how they cried out to God and how He, in His loving kindness, in His goodness, answered and rescued them. And then in each section, it comes to a similar, actually the same phrase and refrain that calls us to thank God for His great love and His great work in our lives. And so today we're going to look at all four of these people, and we're going to look at, we're not going to have time to read every single verse, but we are going to have time to cover each section. And we're going to not only consider the, again, why we should stop and thank God, but we're going to try to put that into a little bit of practice today. So Psalm 107, let's look at that first person that God saves, starting in verse 4. It says, "Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they can settle." And so first, we thank God He loves and saves the wanderer. Now, each section of each of these four sections in this psalm starts with the "some." And this "sum" describes a certain type of people. In this case, some are wanderers or have wandered so far that they have become wanderers. Tolkien wrote, and by the way, I think inspired way too many bumper stickers, but he wrote, "Not all who wander are lost." Ever hear that? I think that certainly may be true, but some people who wander are definitely lost. All right, that's definitely the case. And this psalm describes people who are certainly lost. It says they wandered into wastelands, into deserts. They had no city to settle. It said they became hungry. They became thirsty, not just physically. You got to think in their souls and their minds and their hearts, and that their life began to ebb away. This definitely brings to mind the nation of Israel. When you consider the nation of Israel and their history, God had delivered them from the nation of Egypt and this tyrannical slavery that they were under. And then He promised them this wonderful land that they would go to and that they would live in, this land of milk and honey, this provision and prosperity. But instead of taking that path right away, they ended up wandering for 40 years in the desert. And do you remember why they ended up wandering instead of entering in? It's because when the time came, when they were supposed to follow God's instructions, the people, through a lack of faith, refused to trust God until it was too late. And so because they didn't follow the path where God had led them and told them to go, they ended up having a much harder life wandering around. Now, if you think about us, God, through His Word, through His Spirit, through His Son, through all of His revelation, gives us instructions. And God tells us the best possible way to live. He says, if you will do these things, and if you will not do these things, not only would God say it will bless me and make me happy, it will also give you the best possible life. And because he is God, because he is the manufacturer, he knows what's best for us. He is someone that we can trust. And so it makes the most sense to actually follow his direction, to follow his instruction. But we don't always do that, do we? We wander. See, the thing about wandering is it can be fun. At first, I mean, sometimes in life, when we begin to wander, we feel like, hey, we're going new places, we're trying new things, we're opening our minds to new ideas, and maybe the old path seems just a little bit too restrictive, especially compared to this endless array of wide open paths that we can explore without the constraint of a God and this set of instructions and rules to hinder us. But over time, it's unsettling. We become unmoored in life. And especially in dark or difficult times, we suddenly sense that we're lost, that in a difficult moment, there's no solid roots that are holding us and keeping us connected to the ground. So we find ourselves blown around, tossed around, no shelter to protect us, no place that we can turn to protect us from all the dangers that are also there amongst all the pleasures that we pursue. And if we wander long enough, our soul begins to hunger and thirst for more and more. And the more we explore, the more things, it's got to be right around this corner, the more we search for, it's right over here, we come to realize every single one of them comes up empty. None of them satisfies that longing. And so as the word says, our lives begin to ebb away. But this psalm tells us that what the wanderers did in this place and in this time is they cried out to God. And we see this rephrase each time too. This some people, each of these four people, at some point in their life, they made a decision. They cried out to God. When they came to understand they could no longer do life on their own, they cried out to God and he helps them. And in this case, the wanderer cries out to God, he delivers them and leads them to a city where they can settle. And in verse 9 it says this, "For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Now, we certainly saw this in the nation of Israel, but we also see this today. We see this fulfilled every single day all over the world. Do you know that Jesus said this? "I am the way." Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life." In other words, he's saying, "I am the only path to God." So for the wanderer who is lost, it's like, okay, which way do I go? Which way do I turn to? Jesus made it real simple. "I am the way." And so if you've been wandering in life, it's real simple. If you're finding yourself hungry, you're finding yourself thirsty, you're finding yourself unmoored, you're finding yourself desperate, then it's simply time to cry out to God and he will hear you. Jesus will lead you back home. He is the way. He will lead you back into relationship with him and ultimately lead you into permanent presence with God. So because of this, we can join in the thankful refrain that's repeated each time after these four different people cry out to God. They all come, and the psalmist calls us to cry out to God. And I'm going to ask you, we don't normally do that, but hey, it's New Year, we'll do this today. I'm going to ask you to read along with me Psalm 107, verse 8. This is what we're called to do. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." Now, if you're from a more liturgical church, maybe that brings back flashbacks, good or bad. But nonetheless, there's, I think, power when we come together and when we read God's word together, and especially when we mean these words and offer him praise. God, we should all declare, you are good, and you love us always, even when we wander. Thank God for that. But it's not just the wanderer. Thank God he loves and saves the rebel too. Let's continue in Psalm 107. Verse 10, it says, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. This psalm describes not the person who has wandered away from God and his ways, but at some point has outright rejected God, his word, and his ways. He rebels against and even begins to despise the plans of the Most High. In fact, this person doesn't see God as Most High, but himself or herself in that position. This person, she's one that doesn't like having to answer to God or anyone other than themselves. And we don't know the reason, the cause. This person may be a rebel without a cause, many times a rebel without a clue. But whatever the case, is it someone that has turned their back against God and gone the other way, but even when they do that, God still loves them dearly. But there's a sad irony for the rebel. See, they push back against God, push back against his ways, his word, because they want to be free of everything they believe is holding them back. But in so doing, over time, they eventually find themselves enslaved. These people, we're told, end up in darkness, in utter darkness, it says. They wanted freedom from their wrongful pursuits, but this ended up bringing them to chains. Now, these chains could be literal chains. I mean, many rebels end up in prisons and jails and have time to think about the ways that they've gone, or they could be chains of addiction or bad habits or chains broken on by bad relationships or a bad life or whatever it is. You see, sin is turning away from God and moving in the other direction. And when we go in that direction long enough, it eventually enslaves us. Now, darkness, I mean, this person is the person who has just been darkened by sin in this rebellion against God. And at one time, they thought they saw everything so clearly. They saw the path. And yet, at some point, darkness consumes them. And they no longer know the way. They don't know the way out. They can't find the way home. They can't really see to find their way out. And this person is stuck in chains and in darkness. Now, I know this person because I have lived that life. I know what it is to think I know better than God. I know what it is to push back on him, to go my own way, and to end up suffering in chains and utter darkness. For those of you that can relate, can you still remember the feelings? Can you remember what that place feels like? The frustration, the emptiness, the despair of no way out? I remember. I remember what it felt like having chains tighten around me, having darkness become darker around me. But you know what I also remember? I remember what happened when I cried out to the God who saved me. And the God who saved the many other rebels that are also in this room when we cried out to him. He saved our souls from distress, brought us out of darkness, and broke the chains that bound us. Anyone else been there? It's part of anyone's story? Thank God he heard us, and thank God he hears our cries today. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus said, "I am the light." Are you in chains right now? Are you maybe in utter darkness today and you don't know what to do? It's real simple. Cry out to Jesus right now. He is the one, Scripture tells us, that sets the captives free. He is the light. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't God good that even though we're in darkness, even though we're in chains, even though many of our actions brought us to this place, God is only a cry away. The light that we need, the freedom that we need is available in Jesus. So again, this section comes back to this same refrain. And again, I'm going to ask you to read with me Psalm 107:15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Thank God he loves the wanderer and the rebel. But you know, God also loves and saves the fool. Let's continue in Psalm 107, starting in verse 17. It says, some, this next group of some, became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Fool is a very interesting and common term in the Bible. When you think of a fool, it actually has nothing to do with intelligence. I mean, a fool can be not so smart, but many times a fool can quite often be very intelligent. A fool is best understood when compared and contrasted to the opposite, the wise. You see, a wise person isn't necessarily an intellectual person, though they can be. A wise person knows when and how to apply the knowledge that they receive. Wise, knowing when and how to apply knowledge and then doing it. The fool, on the other hand, very often has the knowledge, but they don't, won't, can't, whatever the case is, do it. They know the right thing to do, and they don't do it. They simply rebel against it, or they're just never intentional enough to implement something in place, to apply this knowledge, to put a plan into place. And because of that, they end up becoming, as the Bible says, a fool. Now, the Psalms that we're reading one of today really deals with matters of the heart. But right next to, right after the Psalms, is the book of Proverbs. And this really deals with the mind. And if you really want to enhance your thinking, the Proverbs invites you to think deeper about life, that we never really quite think deep enough. And so the Proverbs invites us to come into that place and shows us patterns. It's all about wise people and foolish people and habits and patterns and things that they do. So it's super wise to study what a wise person looks like and what a fool looks like, so that we can adopt the patterns of the wise and reject the patterns of the fool. Now, a couple practical things, just as something to consider for this year, as a new year is starting. I don't know if you have, as again, Shagan called us to go deeper with God this year. Part of that is getting into his word, and I don't know if you have a plan, but one of the things, if you have like the YouVerse or one of the other Bible apps, there are Bible plans that will just take you through the Proverbs and where you could spend some time in there. This year, I've decided to do the Bible in a year plan, and I would encourage you to have some kind of plan on your device, whatever it is, or actually old school, open your Bible, whatever the case is, but get in. I think it's a super wise thing to do. Speaking of which, I've also started this year, Tim Keller, one of my favorite pastors, has a great devotion on wisdom, so that's something that you could also look through in there as well. But the bottom line is, it's important for us to do. Understand the wise person, understand the fool. Now, the fool, in addition to not experiencing the blessings that the wise person does, also has some very negative consequences in life. The psalm says that fools who became so because of their rebellious ways suffered affliction. They ended up loathing all food and drew near the gates of death. Fools experience difficult times. The description is that their pleasures become dulled, and their destructive ways, even if it's a low-grade foolishness, is killing them. And so that's the person the scripture's describing, these fools who were going off and finding themselves in their foolishness, their life ripped away from them. Can you guess what happened when the foolish person became wise enough to realize, I'm not going the right way? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and it says, he saved them from their distress, he healed them and rescued them from the grave. Listen, if your foolishness has destroyed your life and brought you to the very edge, it's not too late for you. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus can take what's dying and dead and breathe new life into you if you will cry out to him. He can take the fool and he can make them wise again. Or he can make them wise for the very first time. So, for all my fellow fools and everyone else in here, let's thank him for this and read along again, Psalm 107:21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. God loves and saves the wanderer, the rebel, the fool, and thank God he loves and saves the strong. Now, I know this might be jarring for a minute, like, wait a minute, the first three all sounded negative, but this one seems strong is a good thing, right? Of course, strength is a good thing, but it has its limitations, and when we don't recognize that, we can find ourselves in way over our heads. So let's read about this last group that we're going to look at today, Psalm 107, starting in verse 23. It says, some went out to the sea in ships. They were the merchants in the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. These verses describe confident, competent, driven, ambitious people who have clear goals, agendas, and want to be successful. And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with that. However, we have to be careful because, look, you could be in this category and certainly love God and know him. It says that they saw the works of the Lord. So in this group of people, there's certainly people that know God and have a relationship. But the problem is sometimes we can put so much confidence in our own strength that we fail to trust in God's strength. And in so doing, we find ourselves against powerful forces that we in and of ourselves are no match for. Storms like the one that was described in this passage will come into your life, and they will knock the wind out of your sails, and they will come up against us, and even the strongest of us are no match for them. And I guarantee you, maybe your life is calm right now, maybe it's peaceful. I guarantee you that there will come a storm that is bigger and more powerful than you, one that you maybe never expected to face, and it will come, and if you're not careful, it will just leave you completely devastated because you can't beat it in your own strength and in your own resources. And like the people in this passage, we may find, like them, that our courage, which was so strong at one point, begins to melt away. That we too are staggering like drunkards and at our wit's end. But God loves and saves the strong too. And you know the deal by now. When these people found themselves in this situation, they cried out to God in their distress. And again, what happens? Let me read a couple verses after they cried out. Verse 29 and 30, it says, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. God brought the storm to a quiet whisper, calmed the seas, and brought them home to safety. You see, the safest place we can be is not locked up somewhere safe with the alarm on and everything else. The safest place that we can be, the best place, the calmest place we can be is in God's presence. And no matter the intensity, the insanity of the waves that are crashing around us, the winds that are howling and pushing you back right now, we can cry out to God. But for the strong, this means that we have to acknowledge, first of all, that there are forces that are stronger than us, like that storm, and stop trying to control and manage everything on our own. For some of you, you know that's you today. But it also means we need to acknowledge and recognize that God is greater than the storms, because it's not helpful if you just realize, yeah, the storm's greater than me. I'm doomed. No. The second part, God is greater than the storm. And so some of us, what we need to learn today is that weak is the new strong. Jesus spoke these words to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, the key isn't not being strong. It's acknowledging our limitations and our weaknesses and then turning to God to find our strength. You see, in weakness, we cry out to him and he bears down his strength. He's the one that brings peace. And when he answers, it's yet another thank God moment. So let's do that and read the last refrain in this psalm that we've been reading, Psalm 107:31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Now, even as I was writing this message, I had some challenges. The day that I was supposed to put it all together, you come back, it's like a holiday week, it's like just everything, your schedule's so timed out perfectly. I had a day where all of a sudden everything I planned got blown up, and all of a sudden found myself out of the office, and then when I came back to the office, I had a hard time concentrating, and it just blew up the day, and it just everything that I had arranged was different. And so it's like, okay, I picked up the next day. It was a day off, and I figured maybe I could be done in an hour or two. But then I looked, sort of opened up the laptop, and I saw that of the 80% of the message approximately that I had written, it had crashed, and about 10% of it was saved. So I had a mild panic. But after fiddling with the recovery for a while, I was able to recover about 70 of that 80%. So I literally said, thank God that I was able to recover this message. And the irony was not lost on me that I was saying thank God for helping to save and recover a message called thank God. But it also hit me that I should be spending a whole lot more time thanking God, because my life was lost. My soul had wasted and become glitched. And yet God recovered and restored me. And this whole church is filled with people for who he's done the same thing. Some wandered, some rebelled, some became fools, some became too strong in their own eyes. And yet at some point when things looked really bleak, when things looked really dark, when we felt our lives slipping away, when we would have been lost, we cried out to God, and in his goodness, in his love, he heard us, he saved us, and he brought us back to where we needed to be. And there's something else we should consider in this psalm. And for some of us today, we're looking like, which one am I? If it's not apparent, you start to concentrate, which one am I most prone to be? But there's something to consider, and that is that scholars suggest that the Hebrew suggests that this isn't four different type of people, but this is all people from four different angles. In other words, every one of us has and is prone to wander from God. Every one of us has and is prone to rebel against God, his plans, and his ways. Every one of us has been and is prone to be a fool. Every single one of us has been and is prone to try to operate out of our own strength and not turn to God for the help that we need. And because of that, we've all at some point in life experienced what it feels like, the pain of feeling restless without a city to call home. We've all found ourselves in times of utter darkness and in chains as they begin to form around us and constrict our lives. We've all suffered affliction and felt our lives ebbing away. And we've all known the panic and fear of a storm too strong and too powerful for us to overcome. And every single one of us that have come to saving faith in Jesus have also turned to God and cried out to him. We know the goodness and love of this great God who hears our cries and who saves us, rescues us, restores us, and brings us back into the safety of his presence. So now, I know today it's a little bit different of a message from what we might normally do. And it's not really as polished, not really it's something like that. But next week, we're going to start a brand new series. I'm excited about that, and I think it's going to be great. But today, what I wanted to do is I didn't want to begin the new year just simply talking about what we want to do for ourselves and what we're going to accomplish this year, nor even what we're going to do as a church. And I think there's some great things that we're going to look at for this year that we really want to do. I wanted to have a time where we stop and instead of thinking about what we're going to do together or individually, take the time to consider what God has already done for all of us. and to praise him for that. To thank God because he desires and he deserves that. And because it's helpful and wise for us to do that. The chapter ends with this verse, Psalm 107:43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. That's all I really wanted to do today for our time together, is to ponder the loving deeds of the Lord, to have us have a little time and space where we could thank him for his wonderful deeds and his unfailing kindness towards us. Now, as you go out today, I want to encourage you. We didn't read every single verse, and even the verses we read, there's lots of gems that we didn't take the time to mine today. So I want to encourage you, maybe go out in Psalm 107 and find yourself parked there this week. And again, the wise heed these things and ponder. So go back and ponder. And as you go today, I want to encourage you, think of your story and consider how your life went as you maybe manifested and lived as a wanderer, a rebel, a fool, someone strong in your own eyes. And then consider how you cried out to God and he saved you. And then thank God for his loving kindness and goodness today. Now listen, maybe you're here today and you're on one of those paths. I want to pray with you and for you today. I really want to offer two prayers. One for those of us that already know God, and yet we find ourselves in this place. We've been living and we're in a sense of maybe quiet or not so quiet desperation. I want us to cry out to God today and have him free us, as we've seen he does. And then maybe for those of you that are here and you've never begun a relationship with God, this is your time to cry out. Talk about starting a new year right. Talk about starting life all over again. This is an opportunity to do so. So I'm going to ask that every single person close your eyes, bow your heads, enter into an attitude of prayer. And for those of you that are here today, you know what? If you're already a follower of Jesus, just for a moment, you have to keep them up, and you say, I want to cry out to God. As you pray today, pray over me, because I too can have a tendency to wander. I can be a fool. I can be too strong in my own eyes. I can be a rebel. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up for a moment so I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. I see all your hands. You can put them down. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for everyone else too, but maybe God will double hear you today. God, I thank you so much for the faith of the men and women here that are acknowledging, God, that we don't have it all worked out. Father, I thank you so much that you love those of us that have wandered. And I pray for those of us that have, that we turn back to you, Jesus, today and find our life and hope in you. God, for the rebel, help us remember that maybe we're turning against your word and doing things we shouldn't be doing, not doing things we should be doing. Help us remember that what we think is giving us freedom eventually will enslave us. Help us remember, God, that it's darkness, and help us to turn to you for the light and freedom that we need. Jesus, please deliver us today from that. God, we pray for the fool and for those of us that have lived and not applied the things that we need to. God, help us to turn from those ways and help us to learn to become wise. Your word says that the fear of you is the beginning of wisdom. So God, help us to begin to fear you in the sense that we regard you for who you are, and we love you and respect you in a reverential awe so much that we will do the things you say and turn from the things you caution us against. And God, I thank you that you love those of us who have been too strong, too self-sufficient, people that, God, you save us and rescue us, and then somehow we think we've got it all together and we don't need you. Forgive us for that, and I pray, God, you'd help us have the humility to cry out to you in our weakness, and may that be the perfect place where your strength is made manifest in our lives. I pray that we'd experience that in a fresh way, and God, we cry out to you today. Save us, Lord. Deliver us. Free us. Help us to walk that path with you. And God, thank you so much for your endless love and your wonderful deeds for us. For those of you that are here today and you've never begun that relationship, Jesus died on a cross. And he did that because all of us have sinned, all of us have turned, all of us have rebelled and wandered and been strong in our own eyes. We've all been fools. And sin separates us from God. But Jesus said, instead of you paying that for yourself, I will pay the price for your sin
by dying on the cross, and his blood was shed so that we could be redeemed in him. We could have our sin paid for, but not only that, we could have new life, we could have new righteousness in Jesus. And what it means is the same thing. It's coming to the end of ourselves like any of these people you read about today and crying out to God. Now, this cry today can be you simply offering and surrendering yourself to God. Now, church, with everyone continuing an attitude of prayer, every eye still closed, if you're here today and you want to say a prayer quietly in your heart, I'll lead you in that, but you want to cry out to God because you know that you can't save yourself and you need help. God is available and you want to turn to him today, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll lead you in that prayer in just a moment. I see your hand. Thank you. Right now, with everyone still in an attitude of prayer, I'm going to say this prayer and you can simply say this to God in your own heart and he'll hear you. Dear God, you can say, thank you that you love me, that you heard my cries. God, I need you. Please forgive me for my sin and where it's taken me, what it's done. And please help me turn from that and turn to you. Thank you so much that you hear my cry today. And God, help me this day forever follow Jesus, the path that leads to life and redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer today, congratulations. Again, it's a great way to start a new year. It's a great way to start a new life. We'd love to give you a Bible and a Bible study guide to get you started. Just as you go out, head left, I and others will be at the guest center. We'd love to hear about your decision. There'll be people over there to offer you a free Bible to get you started on your journey and answer any questions that you might have. If you need prayer for any reason today, anybody, feel free to come forward to the need prayer section over to my left and your right, and we'd love to pray with you. As we close today, I want all of us to apply what we've learned. I hope we go out and do that, but I want us to do that right now. And I pray that as we sing songs of worship, as we sing this final song, this may change something a little bit in our heart. I pray that it would continue. But let me read this psalm, this verse in that same psalm that we didn't read. It says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So as you sing today, you're not just singing a song, you are offering to God a sacrifice of your words as you sing for the great things he has done. So let those of us who were once wanderers, rebels, fools, self-sufficient, sing with passion as we give him the sacrifice of a thank offering to the one who in his great love for us sacrificed everything and offered himself up to save us and bring us home to safety. Would you all stand and sing together with us as a thank offering to the God who loves and saved you?